Okay, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll turn again to the book of Ruth. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for giving to us the breath of life, health, strength, for giving to us new life in Christ, and for giving us your word that we might learn of you. And so this morning we ask for your help as we look again at the scriptures with a desire that we should learn and that these things should have a real good influence upon our lives so that we'll be that much more conformed to the image of Christ who is our Savior. We pray with thanks in the name of Christ the Savior. Amen. So we return again to the book of Ruth. We've been looking here for a while, and we missed last week because we had a guest. But what we want to do is to remind ourselves, again, a little bit of the context that we have here. We saw in the first chapter the situation of Naomi, Elimelech, and their two sons going down to Moab. You saw that there was a famine in the land, and they went to the country of Moab to dwell there. We also saw that while they were in Moab, Elimelech died, Mahlon and Chilion also died, and so Naomi was left, and she and her two daughters-in-law had to decide what to do. So Naomi decided that she would return to her homeland. And initially, her daughters-in-law determined to go with her. But as we know that as she entreated them again to say, your prospects for your future, especially, I would say, in a material sense, might be better if you return to your homeland, to your people, and let me go on back to my home. We saw that Ruth decided that she was not going to take that admonition. And she said to Naomi that I'm going to stay with you. Where you go, I'm going. And I'm going to read again the portion here where Naomi speaks out her commitment as to what her choice was. And it says here in verse 15 of chapter 1, and she said, this is Naomi saying to Ruth, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. And then it says in verse number 18, when she saw, that is Naomi, that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking with her about the matter. Right, so and we remarked about the influence because we said this statement lets us understand that Ruth had a, shall we say, a conversion. We sometimes use the word a proselyte. She became a believer in the true God of Israel. So she said, your God will be my God. And so she's just putting making a statement there. One of the things that I found interesting here is that if we look at what Ruth said, and those are very strong words about commitment, and we talk about how we ought to be very much committed like this to our Lord, because that's what he requires of us. But Ruth, as here, she says, "The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." She's making an oath. So if what she said wasn't strong enough, it's almost as if she's saying, "I'm asking the true God to bring really harsh penalties to me if I don't do what I said to do, I'm going to do here." That stood out to me as a very interesting note. Now, that's very good. I don't know if you heard what she said, but she said if she could have the life where someone could observe her and say, "She has something I don't have. I wish I could be like her," and then through her come to the Savior. That's a wonderful thing. Right. And so Naomi then returned, and she was at a downcast way. Pastor, when he spoke and gave a few comments after one of our lessons, and he said that she has spiritual depression, and that can happen to true believers, to have a time of being down. And Ruth was that way when she returned, because it says here in verse number 19, when they had come to Bethlehem, and all the city was excited because of them, and the women said, "Is this Naomi?" And her response was, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Naomi's interpretation of what has happened is given in these words. But we know that the scripture says that for those who are believers in Christ, that the Lord never leaves nor forsakes them. So no matter how down and how much accuracy Ruth's statement may have been, that the Lord had dealt hard with her, he hadn't abandoned her. He hadn't forsaken her. He was still her God, because she had a true connection with a true God. And so Ruth, in a time of spiritual depression, still had a God who was, shall I say it this way, still God. And he brought her through these things. Now we went on to the next chapter, and this was during the time of the barley harvest. And we see here, we see the introduction of the name of Boaz in verse 1 of chapter 2. And we mentioned how that was an interesting insert right there, Boaz. And then it gets back to talking about what was happening here. Ruth, we use the word, was industrious to refer to her. And we said Ruth was an industrious young woman, meaning that she was willing to do what she could do within her power to care for, not just for herself, but for her mother-in-law, Naomi. So there was a bond between these two, and Ruth was willing to do what she could do to provide. And we see the reciprocation of that in chapter 3, in verse number 1, when Naomi makes her statement with regard to Ruth of a similar nature. But here it says in verse number 2, where Ruth asked that she might go and glean in the fields. We talked about gleaning and how that was a provision that was made for those who were poor and widows and foreigners, those who had a need, that they could have provisions for themselves. We also mentioned that this provision was a provision that was laid out in the law, and those people were ordered to leave those gleanings for this particular purpose. and then those who had the need could go. And they could work and provide something for themselves. We made mention of the fact that the provision was there, but it required work on the part of the needy folk in order to get what was available to them. So Ruth went on and she did that. And it said in verse number 3 that it was her hap, or that she happened to land on the field of Boaz. Well, it was not lucky, as people in the world would use the word lucky. We use the word of providence of God, that it worked out that way. But she was on that field. And then when Boaz returned, it said, from Bethlehem to his fields and saw this young woman, he asked about her and said, well, whose young woman is this? In verse number 5 of chapter 2. And so then they told Boaz that this young woman came back with Naomi from Moab. And they said that she asked permission to glean, and that she'd been gleaning all day, except for taking a break, a rest break in the shaded area. So that statement indicated that she had been diligent about the business of gathering or of gleaning, and she had been at it all day. So then, and I made some note of this, is that after this inquiry, Boaz spoke to Ruth, and he said to her, you will listen to me, my daughter, in verse number 8, chapter 2, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, or nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. So we talked about the beginning of seeing here Boaz beginning to make arrangements to care for Ruth, to provide for her, to look out for her. So then it says in verse 9, let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have not I commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink where the young men, what the young men have drawn. And we mentioned that these are further indications of Boaz's taking steps to provide and to help Ruth and to see that she was well cared for. So he wanted her to continue his fields. And it says here that he had commanded his young men not to touch her so that she would be safe in his fields. We talked about the vulnerability that she would have as a foreigner to be in those fields. And in another part here, it talks about how that if she was to go into different fields, she might be at some danger of abuse. But Boaz wanted to protect her from that. And so he says, stay by my young women in the fields where my reaping is happening. So then, in verse number 10, she fell on her face, she bowed down to the ground, she said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? Why should you take notice of me? You know, I think some of us have thought about ourselves and about the Savior, and we look and consider what we are in a natural sense. And we say that God has given to us this eternal life. He brought somebody along to tell us how to be saved, that Christ had died for us, that death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, that he's coming again. All these wonderful things. I think probably all of us have had the occasion to say, why me? Why, Lord, have you shown favor on me? I'm not worthy of it. And so she said, why have I found favor in your eyes? I'm a foreigner. And that's what we were, dead in trespasses and sins, foreigners to all the things of God. But Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of her, your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and come to a people whom you did not know. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. We talked about that, coming under the wings of God for refuge. Where shall I go seeking a refuge for my soul? Ruth found a place to go to seek a refuge for her soul. She said, "Your God shall be my God." And that was a refuge for her soul. So Boaz then, in making this statement, is recognizing, I would say it this way, that the young woman who has come back from Moab with Naomi is not just an ordinary woman of Moab who happened to show up with Naomi. But this young woman is a special kind of a young woman. And he says that she's come to seek her refuge under the wings of God, the God of Israel, the one true God. I think that is significant. And then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I'm not like your maidservants." So then added to that, provisions that Boaz was making for, were making made for her. He says in verse 14, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept back some. Now, why does she keep back some? Is it because she was full and just didn't need any more? Or did she have... Now, I'm going to use this as... I'm going to use what we often think of it negatively in a positive sense. Did she have an ulterior motive? Did she have an ulterior motive? And I'm saying it that way because we see what she did with the food that she had left, that she took it back. Let me read on in verse number 16. So, also, Boaz again, he's talking to his young men, "Let grains from the bundles fall purposefully for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." He's showing special favor to Ruth. He's showing special kindness to her. He wants this young woman to be cared for, provided for, and he's making steps to show his interest and seeing that she's properly cared for. And then in verse 18, she took it up and went into the city with her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what was she had kept back after she had been satisfied. This is the food that she had left. And so that's why I said, did she have an ulterior motive? It may well have been in her mind that she was just going to keep some of that to take back to Naomi. Not that Naomi wouldn't have had any food to eat, but the bond between these women, the love, the true love between them, you can see that she wants her mother-in-law to be in the best care, and she's going to do what she can do to see to it. That's a wonderful thing. In verse 20, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." He will never leave nor forsake those who are his own. And she uses that word, "who has not forsaken his kindness." Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth, the Moabitess, said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field. So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. So Naomi then, after finding out that she had landed on the field of Boaz, she says, "Ah, he's a close relative of ours." The scripture doesn't tell us how close or what the relation is or was. It could be that he was a brother of Elimelech. That would be a close relative. Or perhaps he could have been a nephew. It doesn't tell us what the relation was. But what we do learn, though, is that he was a qualified person to be a redeemer according to the law of the way they had the Goel or the kinsman redeemer relation, that he was a man qualified to perform that function. And so he was a close relative. So then in chapter 3, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" So we talked about this now. We mentioned earlier, just a few minutes ago, of how Ruth was determined that she would do what she could do to see that Naomi was provided for. And now Ruth is saying to Naomi, Naomi is saying to Ruth, "I need to seek security for you." So she's saying, "My highest interest right now is not me, but you." There's a reciprocal love these women have one for the other. So now Boaz, whose young women who were with us, that's chapter 3, verse 2, is he not our relative? So she tells her, in fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. "Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself and put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor." The time of the harvest, they were threshing. They had the threshing floor out in the fields, and this is the way they did it. And so Naomi tells Ruth what she should do. Now, what their plan is here is to present to Boaz that he is in a position where he could be the redeemer for Ruth to marry her, and somewhere to present that. And so what we see is Ruth is being told by Naomi how to go about making that presentation. And this is what she tells her to do. And she did what she was told to do. She said, "Do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And he said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. And it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there was a woman lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she said, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." So this is when now Ruth is saying to Boaz, she's saying to him, "To take me under your wing," that's an expression of protection. To what she's saying is that she wants him to take her into marriage, to marry her, that he might be her husband, she might be his wife. And she says, "You are a close relative." Now, this then is in accord with the system that was set up. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 25. And we look at verses 5 and 6 here in relation to this particular concept. It says here, this is about the level of marriage. "If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, The widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go into her, take her as his wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn son which she bears will succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. And so that's the system that she is referring to, that he is a near or a close relative, and that's the idea. So then in verse number 10, Boaz responds to her, and he says, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich." Now, Boaz had already he already had a high opinion of Ruth on the basis of what he had been told of her and of what he had seen of her. And this statement takes it to a high level. And he's saying, you know, you are actually of a higher, I had you at a higher peg of a high character, but it's almost like he's saying, but I see that your character is even higher than what I thought. So he says here to her this statement, "You have shown this kindness." But the fact that she wasn't seeking after somebody to marry her, and I think I mentioned before the idea that in Ruth's mind, her highest priority in going with Ruth back, I mean with Naomi back to her homeland and being with her and all that, her highest priority was not to find a husband for herself. That wasn't her object. Not that she didn't want that, but that wasn't the top priority. If her top priority in life would have been to find a husband, then perhaps she would have gone back with her sister-in-law, with the prospects being greater for her being among her own people to find someone. So this young woman was a young woman of high character. So now he says here, Boaz says to Ruth, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." And we talked about the virtuous woman from Proverbs 31. But he's saying that I have my own private assessment of you, and I've told you that. But beyond what I think, all the people around us, they also have an opinion of you. And here's what they think. And so she has a reputation, this young woman. She has a reputation. Now, that, I think, fits in nicely with what Laura was saying, to have a character or a way so that people will see and know that there is something unusual and good about the person and the way they live and conduct themselves and the things they do. And so he said that about her, that everybody knows that you're a virtuous woman. They know you haven't been chasing after men. They know you haven't been doing unsavory things. They know you've been taking care of your mother-in-law. They know you've been diligent. You've been doing the things you should be doing. You're concerned about spiritual things. You're concerned about the true God of Israel. Everybody knows all that. Yes, ma'am. Well, she's talking about Ruth's trust in Naomi as, right, because she said, "I'll just do what you ask to do." Right. Right. So she did have a high level of confidence in Ruth. But remember also that her faith and confidence were not just in Ruth, but it was also in God. in the God of Israel, right? So God was leading her through that. So God gave her the wisdom to understand that what Ruth was telling her to do was the right thing to do. I would put it in those kinds of terms. So that's a good thing, though, because the wise counselors are a measure of a measurable benefit. And that's what Ruth was. I mean, Naomi was to Ruth a wise counselor to help her to understand what she should do in a particular circumstances. Now, we talked about Boaz again, and I'm getting to, my time is going, and I'm probably not going to get much beyond where I talked to last time. But that's okay, you know. If you are like I am, every time I go over it, it's a new blessing to me, hopefully for you as well. And now, it says here that in verse number 13, Boaz says to Ruth, "Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you. As the Lord lives," he says, "lie down until morning." Now, Boaz, do you see an oath? He's making an oath. I see that there. We talked about the oath that Ruth made with regard to being and staying with Naomi. Now we see Boaz making an oath with regard to Ruth and doing what he promised to do with her. He says, "As the Lord lives." So then she lay down until the morning, and she arose in verse 14 in chapter 3. Before one could recognize another, then he said, "Do not let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." Ruth is saying, "I know something about this man, Boaz. I know how that man conducts himself. And on the basis of what I know about him, this matter is going to be settled today, because that's the kind of man he is." So we talk about reputations that people have and the way that people do things and what people expect of them and all that sort of thing. And so Naomi, without any hesitation at all, she says, "Boaz is going to take care of it. He's going to do what he needs to do." So then in verse number 4, it says, "Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there." So the gate is the meeting place where the official business was done. And it's like, you know, the legal matters would take place there, business matters and that. And you see the call of the witnesses and all that, and the 10 witnesses, and you think about how that, I think the Jewish synagogue required 10 for what they call a quorum or something like that, and 10 was an important number historically for the gathering of those kinds of things. And so it says here, he took the 10 men, oh wait, I'm sorry, let me go back, I missed a piece. So the close relative of whom Boaz has spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Come aside, friend, and sit down here." And so he came aside, he sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and he said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, "Naomi has come back from the country of Moab. She sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, 'Buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people, if you will redeem it.' But if you will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. There is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." That's what he said. He spoke before he had all the information. So we give him a little slack. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, You must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. And a close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. And then it says, you redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. So first he said, I will redeem it. And now he says, I cannot redeem it. And the only explanation he gives is that it might destroy his own inheritance, or ruin his own inheritance. It doesn't tell us here specifically or precisely what it is that he was concerned about in terms of absolute certain for us, but might ruin his own inheritance. But we do know that if he had married Ruth, that the firstborn son of Ruth would not carry his name, but the name of the dead, right, of her husband. And so the property then that was being redeemed would stay in that particular order. And it may be that if this man didn't have any other sons, or if he had done this thing and didn't have any more offspring, that all of his land would end up in the other family. Still within Israel, but within a different family. I don't know if that it would be a concern for him. But whatever it is, I think it's pretty clear that what risk he talked about with respect to his own inheritance was the same for Boaz. Do you see that? The Boaz would have had the same risk as far as his own inheritance and marrying this woman. So we see a little bit of a distinction between these two men in terms of what they are looking at and what they're deciding to do in reference to what the situation is they see. I think it would be clear to say that by this time, Boaz is very much in love with Ruth. And so he's willing to sacrifice for her to do whatever he needs to do. And so for him, the idea of his own inheritance or whatever that might entail by marrying her is a secondary issue, I would say. So now it says then in verse 7, this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm anything. One man took up his sandal and gave it to another, and this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren from his portion at the gate. You are witnesses this day. And then it goes on to say how the people were all excited about that and they were exuberant and all those things. And they were looking for great things to come out of this union between Boaz and Ruth. So we're going to break it off here now today, and we'll come back another time to look again at the last part. What we have here in the book of Ruth, it is a wonderful, wonderful account that we see here to see what was happening, what developed, to see Ruth being a young woman of Moab, a foreigner, and making the choice to say, I'm not going back to my family, to the gods of my people, but I'm going with Naomi to her people, that her God would be my God. And I will cast my lot with her and with her God. And then we see that Ruth was conducting herself in a most wholesome manner throughout. We don't see any blemishes in the account regarding Ruth's behavior in any measure. So she was a young woman who set her priorities in the proper order. We sometimes use the expression God first. And we might say that Ruth had that kind of an attitude. We see then that as Boaz said, that she was seeking refuge under the wing of the God of Israel. And then Boaz stepping up to do his part to see that she was protected. Shall we say, by God's grace under the wing of Boaz. And so we see a wonderful, wonderful thing here. But anyway, let me just, okay, I'll take your question and we'll close because our time is gone. Right. So that's good because they still held Naomi in high esteem and they were rejoicing to see her, which is a good thing. She had a good reputation before she left. And then the people were rejoicing to see her, but she had gone through some difficulties. Our Father, we thank you for the time that you have given, that we should sit together and read from the scriptures. We understand, dear Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God is our teacher. And we ask you to help him, to help us to learn of thee. We pray in the name of Christ as Savior and with thanksgiving. Amen. So we thank you all. We appreciate you.
Other people to go along with them. And he got confused with